ignorance is the official language of Washington, D.C.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brennan Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
It is Thursday, May 24th. It's 10:04 p.m. We're recording this quite late because it was a very busy day.
Yeah.
In and around the worlds of Washington, D.C., in and around Roman Reigns' yard, in and around the NWO's territories of North and South Korea. Very busy day. And Donald Trump has taken the record from CM Punk for the longest reigning WWE champion. He has not passed Bruno Sammartino's record. Earlier this week, he joked about being the next three and or four term president. So the record is still contentious. There's a good chance that Trump will overtake Bruno as the longest reigning universal champion in WWE history.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, this is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and pro wrestling. We wrote a book about that called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling, available on Amazon. You should check it out. It'll make some of this make sense. But you also, to make the rest of it make sense, you should watch all of the WWE's history, all 30 years.
Yeah.
And you should like follow presidential politics day to day.
So we didn't record last week, and I'm really regretting not recording last week. Last week was a dead week in terms of wrestling news. All-in tickets came out right around when we would have recorded, and that's pretty important. Nothing really happened in the ring for the WWE, but something did happen to me that was incredibly important, and that was Total Bellas returned. And the reason why I'm so interested in this show is because at the premiere of Total Bellas a whole few days ago, John Cena and Nikki Bella were then broken up. And John Cena goes on the Today Show and cuts his version of the Hard Times promo, proclaiming his love for a woman whose name is not Nikki Bella, because that's a wrestling
name.
It's a fake name. It's fucking fake. And now they are back together.
Are they?
They're back together. It was in the Washington Post Express today, which is the daily version.
It's the paper of record.
The light paper of the Washington Post. So, yeah, they're back together, which I really want to do an entire episode on. Is love a work or a shoot?
Yeah, it's obviously, in the case of John Cena and Nikki Bella, it's a worked shoot.
Exactly. So let's go over this really quick. A work is a what?
Work is fake. It's work. It's carnival play.
Shoot is...
That's the real shit.
What's a worked shoot?
It's when you make something real into something fake.
Okay, so those are the terms you need to know. The most famous wedding in WWE/WWF history was the Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth, right?
Yeah.
Now, their marriage...
Had already ended.
No. It was on the way out.
It was on the rocks.
It was on the rocks. They got IRL divorced less than a year later.
Mm-hmm.
That was their wedding date.
Yeah, they're both dead now.
They were already married for, what, 4 or 5 years, something like
that? Yeah,
So they had a match made in heaven, and the premise of that match was essentially the start of The Undertaker's career. So this happened in the early 90s. When the Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth running on fumes, they're like, well, let's get married. And it was a big deal.
Let's get fake married.
They got fake married, and it was a big deal. And it was one of the first times they broke kayfabe. Kayfabe is what, Chris?
That's the code of keeping the fake stuff hidden.
They had to break kayfabe in the WWF magazine when they actually got divorced. So that was important because that was the first like big thing that kind of said, hey, this is all made up bullshit.
Yeah.
The second thing is that introduced the Undertaker's feud with the Macho Man.
Yeah, because this is where we sound like children recounting a children's story. Jake the Snake wasn't invited to Macho Man's bachelor party.
Correct.
So he showed up with the Undertaker.
Correct.
And then the Undertaker, they gave him a gift to Macho Man, and it wasn't a gift. It's a snake.
That's a snake.
Yeah, because Jake the Snake, he had snakes.
So,
I like to do this. I actually want, if we could get
Norm MacDonald
to do this. It was a snake. That's what it was.
So that you might be asking yourself, number one, why am I listening to this absolute utter bullshit? But more importantly, how does this relate to today?
How does it relate today, Brandon?
Last week, the 1 week we weren't recording, what else happened in the world of love?
The president's wife, Melania, was in the hospital, maybe.
Yes.
And he kind of knew that it happened.
Yes.
And kind of knew her name.
Yes.
Because their marriage is clearly a
yes.
work.
Yes. Yes.
The yes movement. Yes, we get it, Brandon.
The most important marriage in politics is a work.
Mm-hmm.
The most important marriage in reality television is a work shoot.
Yeah.
The most important marriage in wrestling is definitely a work shoot.
Oh, yeah. They clearly, they broke up. They had a new season of their hit television show, Total Bellas, on E! On TV Now. And they fake broke up or kind of broke. They broke up, but for the cameras, who knows?
So this is the one of the very few things that Chris and I really don't touch upon in the book, The Donald Hogg mm-hmm. Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling, because it's really difficult to write about these personal relationships. That's the kind of stuff where Trump would actually sue people, not just threaten, but actually right. sue people. It was one of the few times where you don't really want to screw with Linda McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
She has a record of saying
she will silence you.
Very very powerful things to people that thought they were powerful. Linda McMahon, the Labs fan episode about Bruno Sammartino is probably my favorite version of Linda McMahon.
Yeah.
So highly recommend that. Anyways, that's the week we missed.
We did miss. We missed a week of love and work shoots. The great thing I will often recommend, I don't watch reality TV except mm-hmm. for occasionally Total Bells and Total Deals.
I watch
because
it. This is my favorite show of WWE programming
yes,
since
but
Talking
you watch
Smack
a lot
was
of,
off the air.
You watch a lot of some other reality and competition-based television.
Yes, that's correct.
The great thing about the wrestling ones is that fans of wrestling, no matter what you think about the fans of wrestling, 99%, 95. There's a small percentage mm-hmm. of small children and mentally handicapped people who don't know that wrestling's fake.
Mm-hmm.
But almost entirely all the fans know that it's fake.
We've gone over this really quickly.
We have, yeah.
And I want to make it clear. There's a reason why the meme, "It's still real to me, damn it," is so important. Because within that sentence, he is saying, I understand these ideas of kayfabe, but I like to live in this bubble where this is my escape. That's what he's saying.
He knows that it's fake.
Yes.
Because he wouldn't say it's that the construction of the sentence doesn't make sense otherwise. But the fascinating part with the reality TV, and this is something that my wife has definitely pointed out to me, is that the reality TV, the tropes of reality television, that yes, we know reality television is also fake and scripted mm-hmm. and worked shoot. It's based in reality, but it's amped up drama. It's these meta levels. If you have people, Nicole whatever her name is, Nicole Garcia whatever, playing Nikki Bella, playing the Total Bellas version of Nikki Bella that is aware of the WWE programming that is fake, yet she's on a reality show, so she's also fake, and sussing this out, and then, you know, John Cena's on an ostensibly morning news show, mm-hmm. the Today Show, using these names. That's where the fun of watching wrestling in 2018
absolutely.
And understanding postmodernism, that's where we get off on this stuff. So
it is definitely my favorite part of it, and that's why Talking Smack was a little bit better mm-hmm. than Total Bellas. If you're a wrestling fan, you probably know what it is. If you don't, Talking Smack was the show that was aired on the WWE Network right after SmackDown Live. Biggest week in SmackDown Live history. We'll get to that very, very soon. And it was hosted by Daniel Bryan and Renee Young. Daniel Bryan's real name is Bryan Danielson, and Renee Young's real name is not Renee Young.
Nope.
This is incredibly fascinating because it's the idea of both a behind-the-scenes show and a sports reporting show, a la your sports center.
Yeah.
But it was neither. It was this wonderful other that never existed before, and that's what's so fascinating about this fake bullshit.
There it is.
All right, moving on. Let's get to this week's actual news.
Big week.
It is maybe the biggest week we've done this ever.
It's like the most recent week we've had a threat of a nuclear war.
Yeah.
It's the most recent one. That's never happened recently.
When we originally were going to record this, the North Korea United States Nuclear Summit, is that what the official name of it?
Yeah, it was called the Collision in North Korea.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. That was the paper.
World War III was supposed to happen, and it was so important that the White House decided to make a commemorative coin, which mm-hmm. is currently still available. By the way, the reason why this timestamp is important because of 10:13 p.m. on the WhiteHouseGiftShop.com, and you go to /presidential-military-coins, there's a 504 gateway timeout. The site has been crashing all night because demands for these coins are so high.
Oh, yeah. It's a coin to commemorate a thing that's not happening.
And this is what was shared by NPR Steve Inskeep, a fantastic reporter. This is from the White House shop. The coin will be made whether or not the summit occurs as scheduled, because the theme is coming closer to peace and celebrates the act of communications among countries. If summit does not occur, you can request a refund, but most supporters have said that they want this heirloom of political history, regardless of the outcome. And, yeah, The White House gift shop is correct. People want this coin.
And the language in there, if that's a weird passive-aggressive tone to come from the White House gift shop, you should check out the passive-aggressive tone that comes from their official communiques to the North Korean government.
So the way that the majority of Americans found out about this was this morning around at 9:46 a.m. This is what was shared.
So this is a letter to His Excellency Kim Jong-un from the White House. I'm going to read the whole thing because I think it's kind of important. It takes some twists and turns that are a lot of fun. Dear Mr. Chairman, we greatly appreciate your time, patience, and effort with respect to our recent negotiations and discussions relative to a summit long sought by both parties, which was scheduled to take place on June 12th in Singapore. That's fine. That's a good topic sentence.
Really quick, though. Do you think every single time he says chairman, he thinks of his best friend, Vince McMahon?
Yeah, the chairman.
Yeah.
The chairman of the board.
Okay.
We were informed that the meeting was requested by North Korea, but that is, to us, totally irrelevant. So irrelevant, it's in the second sentence. I was very much looking forward to being there with you. Sadly, based on the tremendous anger and open hostility displayed in your most recent statement, I feel it is inappropriate at this time to have this long-planned summit. So the inappropriate statement, this is like what we're doing, asterisks and brackets and all that. The inappropriate statement was that they called Mike Pence a dummy. Therefore, please let this letter serve to represent the Singapore summit for the good of both parties, but to the detriment of the world, will not take place. You talk about your nuclear capabilities, but ours are so massive and powerful that I pray to God they will never have to be used.
It's amazing.
It's from his, it's from obviously Trump's reign to his fingers, his stubby fingers, to this communication.
Which we'll get to later in this episode, but not everything was written by him this week.
No, yes. We'll get to that. I felt a wonderful dialogue was building up between you and me, and ultimately, it was only the dialogue that matters. Turns out the summit was in our heart all along. Someday, I look very much forward to meeting you. In the meantime, I want to thank you for the risk of the hostages who are now home with their families. That was a beautiful gesture and very much appreciated. Here's coming up my favorite part. If you change your mind having to do at this most important summit, please do not hesitate to call our right.
That's so great.
Just drop a letter in the mail.
That's so great.
As you do. The world, and North Korea in particular, has lost a great opportunity for lasting peace and great prosperity and wealth. This missed opportunity is a truly sad moment in history. Sincerely yours, champion, Donald J. Trump.
Okay. This, I didn't think about this until right now.
Uh-huh.
The writing, call me your right. That's kind of important because earlier this week, the Supreme Court ruled that Trump, it's unconstitutional for Trump to block people.
Did he block North Korea on
Twitter? Trump doesn't read Twitter. We've already known this. Trump doesn't actually interact with Twitter. Trump just tweets. And that's why he's better than everyone, because it's the best troll move is to not interact.
Yeah, all the liberals who are like, got him.
Like, no,
I retweeted it. I quote retweeted with a biting remark.
He's never read Twitter. He doesn't care. He's better than you.
Yeah, John Oliver was like, got him. And it's like, nope, no one cares. Doesn't matter.
All right, so
it doesn't matter.
There's a few stories into one. Uh-huh. That is where we're at right now. No joke, the only man that has any chance of saving us has been brought to you by the NWO. His name is Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, I don't know if this summit's happening, but keep those coins, melt them down, eat them, whatever makes you happy. They're $24.95. It's more than the network, but less than a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to bring to your attention that Collision in Korea, which was not the name of this summit, unfortunately, was a thing that happened. Officially known as Pyongyang's International Sports and Culture Festival for Peace, it occurred April 28th and 29th, 1995, at May Day Stadium in Pyongyang, North Korea. The headlining match was Ric Flair and Antonio Inoki, the Japanese great, who was also in the Japanese parliament. I highly recommend a piece. There's an oral history of this event on Sports Illustrated.
And we'll link to that.
Yeah, that's the best kind of getting a sense of this crazy event that happened in the 90s where North Korea did something that, say, Saudi Arabia would do, where they were like, we want to be legitimate in the eyes of the world. We'll have fake fighters come. That'll make us legitimate. There's a quote. They clearly wanted to make a point, but the way they make it lends itself to such confusion because it's done in such a weird way that it's utterly muddles the message. Is that North Korea? Was that WCW? Is that Donald Trump? I don't know. I think it's all of it.
Yeah. It's a very interesting time.
Yeah.
To say the least. But I do like the fact that Ric Flair has done something Donald Trump can't do.
Yeah. He can't get that meeting. He can't get that collision in Korea like Flair. Also this week, big news in the WWE. We've talked about it a little bit, is that their television rights are coming up. They're currently broadcast two shows on the USA Network, the home of Suits. which does not star Meghan Markle.
She co-starred it. She used to co-star in that show.
Name the other stars. That's right. Nobody knows. Instead of being on USA, they've been negotiating. NBC, Universal, USA, mm-hmm. they've been negotiating. And word this week is that they signed a $1 billion contract with Fox, like real Fox, like the TV, like the network.
Not FX, not FXX.
And not Fox Sports, not nope. Fox News. Real Fox, the top one of the top four networks, to be on Friday night SmackDown 2019 to take their a show to a network called Fox. And it's funny. So there's some consternation in the fan base of whether or not this is also a week where Raw and SmackDown, well, at least Raw, was one of the worst episodes they've made.
SmackDown was very good.
Yes.
The first segment on SmackDown this week was fantastic. It was the New Day and the Miz. And it was great. That's it could best. Not have been better.
And then they had Jeff Hardy and Daniel mm-hmm. Bryan. I mean, matches you might not see. The best joke I saw about that, by the way, is Brother Neuro. We need you to come. Because he has neurological diseases, guys. It's funny. It's a funny joke. It's a ha-ha. No, but the fact that they can do crappy programming and still get this. But they're going to... It's actually... Could be to the benefit of the fans because they will have to make ratings. Just because they have this deal doesn't mean that Fox is going to keep them on
this is
prime time if they can't make ratings.
This is the most important news in terms of getting wrestling back to where it was in the like 97 and 99. Mm-hmm. Like we're getting to mainstream acceptability, Stone Cold's on Conan tonight type of stuff.
Yeah, and it's because that at least in the Attitude Era, the only reason that worked, the booking wasn't particularly good. They had... You had once-in-generation talents, but you also had competition, mm-hmm. and competition's good. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing the capitalism is right about. And the fact that WWE hasn't had real competition for decades has been detrimental to the product. It's had peaks and valleys, but it can be pretty bad because there's no impetus to do it when you're mm-hmm. getting billion-dollar deals from Fox. But if their competition is not WCW or New Japan or whatever, if their competition is other shows at 8 o'clock on Fridays... Maybe this is
that's actually the best competition.
Yeah, because they can't just carny their way out of it and say it's fake.
So it'll be very interesting to see how this goes.
We'll see what happens next year. See if it goes 3 hours. See who's even on the roster at that point.
It makes me think that some of the things that we've talked about on this show, like the Me Too movement and how it's not come to wrestling, even mm-hmm. it's always literally always been there.
Yeah,
that to me is the type and the unionization and the fact that these guys. They're not part of SAG-AFTRA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe they should be. Maybe that they won't unionize in the locker room, but they are now on mainstream television.
It's the first time they've been on... Wrestling has been on the major four networks probably since the early days of TV.
Since... No. NBC's main...
No, but that's... But not a weekly.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They haven't been on weekly. SmackDown premiered in 2001 or UPN. 2000 on UPN. So not a real network in the sense we think of... When you think of the network,
not the top
you think
four.
Of... You think of the Alphabet and Fox, okay?
Yeah.
And it's not on any of those.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
So it's an interesting time for them. That they've been able to... This is the thing that we talk about a lot in the book and we've talked about a lot here. This is something that Vince McMahon, it's very important to be seen as legitimate, as a legitimate businessman, as this a legitimate endeavor of the WWE. And it's a big thing that we see from Donald Trump consistently is to be seen as legitimate and this need for validation... An outside validation.
Which is a perfect segue to what else Vince McMahon is up to, which is the XFL.
Yes.
Was it last week or this week where sports betting was now legalized?
Yes, so sports betting is legalized. That's been in the last week, yeah.
What does the XFL Twitter account say? Hey, should we allow gambling in the stadium? Which is perfect, which leads us to this week's other huge news in terms of sports, but definitely not entertainment. There are now penalties in the Professional Football League, the NFL, for kneeling, for protesting of any sort, really. And the XFL is moving forward, even though Dick Ebersol, former other BFF of Vince McMahon and Donald Trump, actually, it's going to happen. The XFL is going to happen. One of the few things that Vince said in the press conference, one of the few concrete things he said was there will be no kneeling.
Right.
So now, who is the XFL for? If it's not for the conservative fan, it's definitely not for the liberal fan. Because, I mean, you already have the conservative fan that has the NFL. Why would you watch the XFL?
Do they pivot? Do you think they're pivoting and they're like...
I don't know. I genuinely do not know.
We're like the Black Lives Matter XFL.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like, I think, like... Vince understands a business opportunity more than he does an ideological one. I think he'll do what makes what's best for business.
All right, so
it'll be interesting. We'll see.
Yeah, so this is a whole chapter in our book about both the USFL and the XFL. Therefore, nothing that's happened in the past I don't know, 18 months about this stuff has surprised me. The only reason why Trump weighed in is because the NFL shunned him. Some people think it was due to the Buffalo Bills when he tried to buy them a handful of years ago. Nope, this stems back to the 80s, so yep. This is nothing new.
It's an old grudge.
Yep.
Old grudge match.
Yeah, literally everything that has happened is in the book that we wrote, available for 316 at DonaldTrumpIsAPresident.com.
I think the last thing to close on is your ongoing conspiracy / reality theory.
Mm-hmm.
All In, the independent wrestling event spearheaded by Cody Rhodes mm-hmm. and the Young Bucks mm-hmm. To sell out a 10,000-seat arena.
It is an arena, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's an arena at the Sears Center in Chicago.
Okay, so I need to apologize because I said from the start, no one's going to go to Schaumburg.
Yeah.
And you were right, and I was wrong, because you said wrestling fans...
apologize to All In.
Wrestling fans don't give a shit, and they'll drive to Schaumburg, and I go, I'll never go to Schaumburg.
Yeah, what are they doing? Busy getting laid and going to their jobs?
Come on, guys.
Come on now. So All In sold out in a matter of hours.
Not even hours. It was like 40-something minutes.
It was an hour. They put some tickets on the secondary market to make a little more cash, but generally the tickets went directly to fans. A pretty loaded card. They've got CM Punk working a meet and greet the night before the event. They've got Billy Corgan at the event. They've got
those are the big two headliners.
They've got they got him at the press conference. They've got an NWA championship match, which mm-hmm. might be Cody Rhodes defeating the current NWA champion to pick up the legacy of his father, mm-hmm. who was a long time, long time NWA belt holder. So yeah, it's a big thing. September 1st in Huffman Estates, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not Chicago. It's not Chicago.
It's Chicago land.
My theory that I've said from the start is the only way CM Punk gets back, not the only way, but the way he's going to come back in is via Billy Corgan.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's happening on August 31st? That sign at Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yeah.
All right. Cody's going to win the belt. All In ends with Punk challenging Rhodes for the belt, for the NWA belt, and that's going to be All In too, or still in, or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
That's what she said.
All right.
And it's important because CM Punk's got a fight coming up in June.
Yeah, 6'9".
6'9".
I've applied for my UFC credentials.
Ugh, gross. He also has a court case.
He was in court today.
Yeah, it looked like they were moving towards a settlement.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be happening, so we'll see. We're going to keep monitoring the podcast. It's the world of podcast and sports entertainment. It's a lawsuit. It's all gross.
I was on the Bill Press Show earlier today, about 14 hours ago this morning, and when I was on, we talked about what happened with Trump that was news until the North Korea stuff fell through the table, because everything's a
table match.
Yeah.
TLC.
We were going to make this the focus of this show, what I talked about in the Bill Press Show, and since the stuff with North Korea happened, I just decided to tack this on at the end. We do a good job in the book explaining the modus operandi of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we don't make it too complicated, and I think that's where a lot of people, specifically liberals, Republicans, and the people on the right tend to understand Trump for kind of what he represents and who he is much more than people on the left, it seems. People on the left want to overanalyze it, and they're always grasping at their pearls, and that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
What helps is understanding that it doesn't matter. Yes, that's a reference to The Rock. There were three things that Donald Trump said this week, and I talk about it in this segment. Jason Dick is the host of this. Jason Dick has been on the show before. And before I play that clip, I don't know if you've noticed this. We didn't talk about this before the show started, but there's a man named Rob Rousseau. Do you know who Rob Rousseau is? He's been on this show before.
Okay.
But more importantly, he's tweeted something recently. I would rather have my daughter date an MS-13 gang member than date a Republican.
Is there a Mr. 13?
Rob is a father of a son, and Rob is Canadian, and Rob likes to troll people. Rob is fantastic on Twitter. He's also the guy that wrote the fake Ricky Gervais memes that kind of went viral that Ricky Gervais ended up retweeting.
Nice.
Yeah. So Rob has been trolling.
Is he related to the Rousseau brothers?
Yeah.
The Rougeau brothers. I apologize.
So he only speaks French Canadian, and he's been on the show before.
Yeah.
He wrote the piece about why the WWE whitewashes the Ultimate Warrior's past.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested in hearing what an MS-13 gang member thinks of the Ultimate Warrior, go to our back catalog, and there's an entire segment there. There's also a specific show with Jason Dick, but here is me on the Bill Press Show talking about WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump. We will be back next week. You got any plugs?
All in, baby.
So speaking of sports,
mm-hmm.
big
Trump
news.
Won.
Yeah, Trump
he
won.
He beat the NFL.
He beat the NFL.
His 30-year quest has ended with
right.
a victory.
I mean, and you know, this is it's always interesting, like to me, to think about the relationship between politics and sports, particularly because like I love the way that you think about it too. And like this, like Trump has been at war with the NFL for. Well, I mean,
over 30 years.
Longer than West Hollywood has been a city.
Yeah. Also, I mean, have you been to West Hollywood? It's fantastic.
Right. No, I mean, it's just, it sounds silly, you know, like to say more than three decades. It's just, that's, we're just having a little fun. But like the, you know, this thing with the, let's just go through mm-hmm. what the NFL did yesterday. They
what they've always done.
Capitulate. So the new rule on the NFL is that if players don't want to go out for the anthem under the field, they don't have to. But if they are out on the field, they are expected not to take a knee. And if they do take a knee, they are subject to fines.
No, there will probably be fines. I had a hard time understanding that part of it.
Yeah. Like what exactly happens if you do it?
So and this is why the Players Association is not like super thrilled about this, because one, they weren't consulted. They say, and two, it is vague. So it's up to the team. Whether to fine, or it could be up to the NFL front office to fine. There are already indications that like some teams, like the Seahawks, the 49ers, you know, are like we're okay with this. I mean, we're a little more tolerant of it than say, you know, the Browns necessarily. I mean, that just came to mind because I like to pick on Cleveland. but like the you know the Jets have said they'll pay the fine.
Yeah,
you know, they'll absorb the fine. So it's already chaotic, and which usually favors Donald Trump in these situations.
Sure. He does reign in chaos. He's pretty great at that. But no, the only reason this exists is because of Trump's comments last September. That's the only reason this exists. And the only reason why that existed is nothing to do with Kaepernick, and it has everything to do with the USFL and the lawsuit he won and was awarded $1. And when I say he, I mean the league. The USFL was awarded $1. There's a wonderful documentary about this. It's the 30 for 30 about the USFL. And the crux of it was the USFL was a fantastic league that gave players like Herschel Walker and Jim Kelly a chance to play in the spring rather than the fall, and it gave football fans a chance to watch two leagues, and it was a moderate success. And then Trump said, we're going to challenge the NFL, let's move it to the fall, and they sucked, and it didn't happen.
Because he was an owner.
Because he was an owner. He bought it in the second year. Fun fact about that, my favorite fact about all of this, is he almost had Don Shula as head coach.
But
he refused to give him a place in Trump Tower. He refused to give him a condo. So he walked. And that's my second favorite fact is he actually is the first guy that signed Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, so wow, yeah.
He
yeah.
got Lawrence Taylor paid twice. So from an agent point of view, Donald Trump is amazing. From an owner's point of view, not the best.
That is the perfect Trumpy idea. Mm-hmm. You've got a good thing going. Why not completely screw it up, born out of your like terrible ego?
Also, he didn't start the league. He wanted to be in the first year, but he didn't get the rates he wanted. So the guy that owned the Generals was like some Texas dude, and he's like, I don't want to. After 1 year, he was done. So Trump got him on essentially a fire sale.
I have to play this clip, by the way, because this was earlier this week, because Donald Trump welcomed the NASCAR Cup champion. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the guy's name. But Donald Trump was, first of all, said he wanted to drive his race car. Mm-hmm. And then he said,
one thing I know about NASCAR, they do indeed, Brian, stand for the playing of the national anthem, right? They do indeed. Somebody said, maybe you shouldn't say that. That'll be controversial. I said, that's okay. NASCAR's not going to mind it at all, right, fellas?
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
Why? What's the incorrect thing he said there?
No, he's absolutely correct. There is one African-American driver on the NASCAR circuit.
Right.
One.
And also, I mean, I wasn't even aware that it was an issue at all with NASCAR.
Like, yeah, right.
But it is,
right.
But it's, you know, this is part of what the president does very well,
mm-hmm.
is that he reframes issues where he feels comfortable, even when sometimes there isn't an issue.
Yeah.
Sometimes when there is not, or when he gets caught, like I actually, I still can't tell what happened in that MS-13 roundtable at the White House. I mean, I've listened to
what
the clip.
What don't you understand?
So the sheriff's talking about, you know, like, I want to be able to, you know, like, communicate with federal authorities. He talks about their animals. It still is not clear to me, again, what's the antecedent? Is it MS-13? Is it immigrants? Like, and
you're
like,
overthinking it. You're all
exactly.
overthinking it.
And what Trump, again, what he does very well is he reframes it as like, of course, I'm talking about MS-13, and Democrats love them. They coddle them. They're probably going to run them for speaker, you know, like later on. He went up to, as we were talking about earlier in the show, the ancestral lands of Long Island yesterday, surrounded himself by Republican congressmen, and said, hey, you know, this is, you know, like, I meant what I said, that they are animals. Like, kids are afraid to go out in the on the playground, and by God, like, if those kids weren't afraid to go out on the playground, they are now.
They're not people. These are animals, and we have to be very, very tough.
If there was a, and again, you know, like, Democrats kind of keep on taking the bait and talking about this and fighting a war that is not on their turf instead of just sort of ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
But one Republican who wasn't that happy about this, our next guest, Simone Pathé, like, may have some interesting, you know, take on it too, which is that Dan Donovan, who is, you know, he's a Republican congressman. He represents parts of New York City, which is rare, but it's a Staten Island based seat and parts of Brooklyn. He was there. And as soon as he got the invite to go to this this event in Bethpage, which is not in his district, he jumped at it and trumpeted it and said, like, the president, like, invited me, and I'm so happy and I'm so thrilled. One person who was not happy about that was Michael Grimm, who is running against Donovan in a primary. It looks like it's going to be a very tough race for both people. Grimm, of course, is a former FBI agent. He's also a convicted felon for dodging his taxes and operating some crappy restaurants that he didn't pay taxes on in New York. And he came out, like, strong about how, like, this is opportunistic of Donovan, who is a prosecutor. So it's a interesting, like, dynamic there. But, you know, like, Grimm, like, showing some of the dynamics in the primary, wanted in on it. He mm-hmm. wanted in on the rhetoric. He wanted to, like, be there next to Trump and say, like, I want to go after them. Put me in the game, coach.
Well, I think they also have more in common because they're both horrible businessmen. Trump bankrupted his casinos. How do you lose money in the casino business? He did that. He should be in jail for that.
And Grimm, how do you lose money on vegetarian restaurants in New York?
Oh, easily. That's a restaurant. Restaurants are just a bad investment, people. That's crazy.
Let's talk a little bit about. I mean, I feel like you have a very unique understanding of Trump and the way he deploys rhetoric.
I've watched wrestling twice. I get it.
More than twice.
That's a plug for my book.
Yes, Brandon is the co-author of a book on Donald Trump called The Donald and how Trump turned
President.
Politics into professional wrestling.
There you go.
And if you read this book, which is available on Amazon, you will say, how did I miss that? how did I miss this? The way, you know, he uses language, the way he, like, frames his adversaries. But let's talk about this Leslie Stahl
absolutely
interview that where Leslie Stahl was recounting why he demeans people. She asked him a question: why do you keep on demeaning people?
Yeah. Do you have the clip or should I read it?
Because read it.
Okay, yeah. Good. Because this is from a 30-minute YouTube video that I knew you did not want to try to find a Leslie Stahl clip.
Didn't bother doing it.
It's from
Sorry.
The Deadline Club of New York. It's from earlier this week, and there's three things that happened this week that pretty much proved everything Chris Kelly and I wrote about. Here's her quote. And he said, you know why I do it? I do it to discredit you all and to demean you all so that when you write negative stories about me, no one will believe you. Guess what? He's right. He's fantastic at that. It worked. His premise worked. Yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw this, The Hill reported that the reason why Trump calls the FBI informant a spy is because it sounds more nefarious.
Right.
Which also goes to the Leslie Stahl.
Well, this
one.
Is kind of what we were just saying. Yeah, about the what we were saying earlier about the spy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not founded in any truth whatsoever.
Right. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter. The Rock. Finally, number three.
Exactly.
Finally, number three, the most important line of the week from the mouths of babes. I don't know who the hell wrote that line. Okay, so... That's important.
So this was, to give it a little context, this was on Tuesday night. He was at the Susan B. Anthony List gala dinner. This is a Republican anti-abortion group. And he was, you know, giving comment. He was making comments about
how important it is to get out to vote for the 2018
right.
election.
And he said it's, the line was along the lines of, it's more important. You've all voted for me in 2016. It's as important for you to vote in 2018. And then he pauses and says, like,
who wrote that line?
Who wrote that line? I don't know if that's true.
That's not
like
true.
And it was just this sort of gasp. I mean, it was almost like I'm thinking about it because it was a very like sort of meta moment for everybody. It was almost like. Like Donald Trump had decided, like, I'm going to do the next Deadpool like sequel. Like I'm going to like go out. And I'm going to say, like, who the hell wrote that? I mean, it's like he's talking to the camera.
Yeah.
And it was and the word you used, gasp, is the same word that keeps coming up in this Leslie Stahl's thing, because people are shocked. Why is anyone shocked?
He's been very upfront
about
it.
This has been his gimmick since day one. Yeah, He's really good at this, and no one's figured it out except Chris Kelly and I, co-authors of the book. This is called a plug, people. I'm getting it in.
This man's a professional.
DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com. We're smarter than all of you. I've never been upset in the last 4 years because I'm the only one who sees this stuff.
I can't imagine being a Donald Trump speechwriter and putting in a line that implies that somebody else is as important as you,
right.
Which is what this was,
right?
And expecting to get away with that,
right? And they didn't.
But I love that the tagline for this show is giving you everything you need to fight the Trump administration. Name one person that's actually done it. I'm not trying to be a mean person here, but like, there's not one politician, speaker, comic, actor, spokesman anywhere that's been able to actually challenge him and win, because everyone's afraid, and I literally do not understand why.
Well, and we've talked like sort of offline about like who are some of the people who you think could be effective in this, and one of the people that you mentioned is Biden.
Oh yeah, Biden is one of the very very few, but the only issue with Biden is maybe some a little too touchy feely,
right,
with some people. Hashtag me too.
Well, and he's also, I mean, like, this gets to a lot of the issues with politics in general, which is that a lot of these people are old. I mean, they should be retired at this point.
Absolutely. You know, it's like, also not just old, but they're bad people. And this is that. Hear me out. That's a bipartisan statement. It's not just, there's literally no Mr. Rogers to run.
Right.
That's your golden god. That's the person you want to run against Trump, because you could approach it with kindness and actually inspire people. And the only other way to really do that is to go, no, you're a liar. And that's it. But the problem is, if you come at me and go, well, you're a liar, all I have to do is find one thing you've lied about. Mr. Rogers didn't lie. He's the only one. You laugh all you want.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Laugh all you want. There's a wonderful, I hope wonderful, documentary about to be released in June, Won't You Be My Neighbor. There's going to be a think piece in every major newspaper about how we need more Mr. Rogers in 2018 and 2020, and why can't Donald Trump be more like Mr. Rogers? And then Donald Trump will say, hey, everybody in the NBA, take a knee, or don't take a knee, and then no one's going to talk about that, because whoever wins the NBA Finals isn't going to visit the White House. That's what's going to happen.
So one thing that I wonder about, though, is that do we have some Mr. Rogers that have just tried? I mean, like, some people would say that, like, Pope Francis.
Yeah, for sure.
Who has taken on, like, Trump with sort of killing with kindness.
Yeah. Who won that feud?
Right.
Trump won that feud. Trump beat the Pope in a feud.
Yeah.
Do people forget this?
Right.
He literally challenged the Catholic Church.
But who's
who else challenged the Catholic Church?
Who's nicer than Francis?
The guy from Wisconsin challenged the Catholic Church. And he also won, because he got some guy that said, hey, don't be mean to poor people. And I'm talking about Paul Ryan here, people. Yeah. Paul Ryan.
The Speaker of the House, who was politically outmaneuvered by a bishop.
So I should note, too, that Paul Ryan is, at this moment, actually at the Catholic prayer breakfast, talking about how much he loves the poor.
He swerved you guys. Listen, it's there isn't one that we know of. And we talked a lot about you, Jason, Dick, and I. No, but the culture, I think it's fair to say, jokingly wrote fluff pieces about The Rock. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was on the cover of National Review. I don't know if you guys know this. That's a right-leaning publication. And the cover of it was, we need more of The Rock. But there was a caveat, we don't want The Rock in politics. It's like, why? You ran a B-list actor. You ran Ronald Reagan and a guy that wish he was the commissioner of baseball, George W. Bush, and the guy that was on The Apprentice, and the only reason why The Apprentice is existing more is because he got bad ratings. He's a liar. So The Rock is actually has a successful TV show with ballers, made way more money as a movie star than Ronald Reagan. And
is the actually the most successful actor now.
In 2017, in terms of
money, yeah.
I mean. And most importantly, he's people's sexiest man. He's a man that is actually attractive, that is actually a beacon of what you should want to be as a human being. Really no scandals. And probably most likely a libertarian because he was a wrestler, and most guys from that world don't want any regulation because it's an insane, sure. insane career path. That is actually the person you want. And I know that sounds very silly, but we live in a very silly time. Mm-hmm. But there's no one that actually is qualified to have this job that has the qualifications of The Rock.
It's not any sillier than what we're living through.
No.
I mean that honestly. Yeah. Like, he was a professional wrestler.
We already do. I wrote a book about it. It's called The Donald.
Another plug. But.
Really quick, here's a little fun caveat here about Trump and wrestling and all that good stuff. Two things. Number one, do you know where the most recent WrestleMania was at?
New Orleans.
There you go. Superdome. Number two, do you know what every major wrestling event starts with whenever there's a big pay-per-view or WrestleMania?
Wow.
Do you know what it starts with?
This is the national anthem.
It's not the national anthem. It's God Bless America. Do you know why?
Why?
Vince McMahon thinks that's the most patriotic song, not the national anthem. I am not joking.
That's great.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, Star Spangled Banner is a war.
Yeah.
Like, it's a war ballad. I mean, it's about a battle, like, you know, in Baltimore.
Bill gets in trouble every couple of years because he'll come on and he'll say, the Star Spangled Banner sucks. Like, as a song, it sucks. It's hard to sing.
Yeah, doesn't it consistently go up in key? Like, it's yeah. difficult for singers. If they start too high, it's really hard to come.
It's a really, really hard song to sing.
We were talking about Roseanne a little earlier in the program, and remember, she made a few headlines in the 90s when she sang the national anthem. and honestly, looking back on the clip, like, it's obvious that there's a performance angle going on, and I don't know if it's any worse than some of the people who sing it at baseball games now.
Totally.
I mean, it's just...
That's completely accurate.
Real quickly, Fox and the WWE.
Yeah, it's apparently done. It's a $1 billion deal for 5 years of SmackDown Live. For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, SmackDown is named after The Rock's, one of The Rock's catchphrases.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It premiered in the late 90s, and it was essentially a spinoff of Raw. Raw is the longest running weekly episodic television show in history. They just celebrated their 25th year. SmackDown has been moved around a lot. It originally started on UPN, which is a network that no longer exists. It's currently on the USA Network. You might know the USA Network as the network that airs Suits. I don't know if you guys know this. There was a wedding over the weekend featuring a co-star of the show Suits. I only know about Suits because of wrestling, by the way. So this wedding was very exciting to me. Because Fox needs to get back into the live entertainment thing because it's one of the few things people will watch live. Yes, the majority of people watch it via DVR or via Hulu, but this is really the only way to get the eyes on their screen. So it's a $1 billion deal, mm-hmm. and my WWE stock has gone up, baby! Yeah, it's I'm smarter than all of you. I invested in WWE. Fake sports are better than real sports. Ovechkin likes Putin. If you like the NFL, you're racist. Basketball is the future.
There you have it. Is anything else need to be said?
Oh, you know who should run for president, in all honesty, is LeBron, but he won't and he shouldn't because, you know, racism. But yeah. LeBron would be the best person to run.
Wins one more title and then maybe goes into politics. Who knows?
Yeah, he'll still lose in Ohio.
It ain't going to happen this year. Yeah.
Brandon, thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming in. And I love the way that we can kind of reframe politics because it makes a little bit more sense when I'm talking about it with you.